Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Setting the focus for a forwards again. Fitzpatrick going for a double. Fitzpatrick's got it. Paula Fitzpatrick with her second try confirms the win for her team.
For Japan, but absolute joy, absolute ecstasy for Ireland and for these Irish fans here. But finally, that ball touches down over the line.
Yeah, there we go. We not routine. 24 points to 14 after being 14 points to nil down at half time. Gavin Comiskey, the Irish Times here in studio, and we have Lynn Cantwell on the line, record Irish caps holder as well. So, Lynn, your thoughts at half time when we're 14 nil down? What is going on here?
Yeah, it was worrying times, wasn't it? It was more, you knew that obviously Ireland had the ability to turn it around. It was just disappointing to see them down 14-0 at half-time. So thank God they did.
It leaves us, Gav, in a very tricky position in the group now. We play France at UCD, 7:45 kick-off on Thursday night. We can't get a best second place now due to the absence of any bonus points. So effectively, we are going out here in shaky form, having to beat the French.
There is a master plan behind this, right. Honestly. There is. And this Irish team, this Irish, for a long time, they don't tend to do things easy. They tend to do things the hard way. But Tom Tierney knew he had to make a gamble because he knew that he couldn't put his best players on the pitch for 5 games in 17 days. So he had to take a risk. And what we learnt was the reserves just aren't up to it, and they can't. There's a couple of pieces on this chessboard they just can't afford to lose if they're to get to the semis.
Such as?
Maz Riley, number one. Ailish Egan, it was 28 minutes in, and it was already, they'd already conceded a try because for a couple of reasons, but basically the scrum was demolished by a tiny Japanese pack, and Ailish Egan just had to be put onto the pitch. The line-out. The line-out maul is a key part of Ireland's offence. And without Maz, like the first two throws, nobody even jumped. They got no one in the air. The third one, the ref blew it up for how the maul was set up. Now, they got it together and they won the game with their driving maul in the end, as they've won so many games in the past. But yeah, there's a couple of little things like that. Sophie Spence didn't start the first game. He had to take risks and gambles.
Okay.
And he's gotten lucky. And we've got to the French game with some really, really terrible performances. In both games, the bravery and the spirit and the pack got the job done. And Nora Stapleton, she's 6 from 7. She's made a lot of mistakes with ball in hand, but she's 6 from 7 off the tee,
yeah.
which has been utterly huge. It's really crucial. But
yeah.
If you watch on logic, and logic doesn't always come into play with this group, but on logic, the French are looking like one of the form team in the tournament. They look like they can win the tournament,
yeah.
Genuinely.
Well, a lot of people would have seen the Irish performance against Australia, which finished 13 points to 10. The French went out and beat Australia 48 points to nil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's worrying right there, that form line. Lynn, to what extent, and I appreciate Gav's point about the reserves maybe not being as strong as the frontline players, but to what extent are Ireland underperforming here, and in what aspects especially?
I think Gav is right, and you know, we knew it was going to be an atrocious tournament. We know we have to be able to rotate players because ultimately it's the last two games that count, and we need players fresh for that. So I think that's a valid point. I think the disappointing bit to watch, but more importantly, like, it's the girls and the coaches that are going to be disappointed because they know that they can do better, are some of just those key things, like their set platform, obviously their missed tackle count, their just basic defensive organisation, and in particular from a backline point of view, just handling errors. So I think these are things that are more basic, that they're the disappointing things, because they're just, you know, they're stuff that usually have in the bag, and you're building on top of those layers and layers and layers and advancing. So it's when the basics let you down. So when the basics do let you down, you question, like, are they there in the first place? You presume they are. So what other factors are not allowing you just to do the basics?
Yeah.
So I think that's the disappointing bit.
This Irish team had a decent Six Nations. They finished second. They beat France. So some of those basics you talk about, Lynn, like the handling errors or the mistakes in defence, presumably they were good to excellent to finish second in Six Nations. No,
they weren't. Okay. They weren't evident in the Six Nations. Right. There was a lot of chopping and changing in the team. The last time we saw basic catch and pass skills from this team was 2015. When they won the Six Nations in Scotland and they had to rack up a load of scores. I'd be open for correction on that with Lynn. But before the 2014 World Cup, they clearly did it in their training camps leading up to it because they had the fundamentals down, and it was why Ireland got to a semi-final.
Yeah. What about that point, Lynn?
And the point being, Gav, that the basics, you think, haven't been there in this
this season, no.
He doesn't think since maybe 2015 we've seen maybe consistent basics from this Irish team.
Yeah, I think you're right. Unfortunately, there are some of the errors that we have seen in the Six Nations and probably in the last Six Nations. I think that they did really well in this Six Nations campaign. If we look at the games, they were grinds as well, and they were probably came up against a poorer French team on the night in Donnybrook in the Six Nations, etc. But the lack of creativity in the back line was evident then and a little bit worrying. And I suppose I say that because that is what we're actually seeing, but I know that that's not beyond the girls to recreate. But if we're not seeing it on the pitch, it's suggesting that it's not happening in training, which is suggesting the skills aren't there. So it's kind of more deeply rooted. So
yeah,
it needs to be turned around.
And there's a couple of things. Like, it almost seems like the senior players have performed, like, for example, like Ali Miller and Sophie Spence when Paula Fitzpatrick came on and they turned the game.
Yeah.
But like, it was on 17 minutes. They seem to be rushing things. Like Sophie Spence threw a pass that she never should have released for Ali Miller, and it went knocked forward. It was one of the many basic handling errors. Mm. They seem to be forcing things. And they simply won't have a chance against the French if they are to rely on the line-out maul or to rely on winning it up front how they've won the last two games, because it's just not going to work against France. So they have to find
something.
They really do.
Like. Yeah, so that's very worrying. And you know, you watch the game yesterday and you see the handling errors, and it just sucks the oxygen out of the stadium as well. And the team itself, it's kind of a palm on face moment. So I put it to you, Lynn, that if we haven't quite seen the consistency there in that department since 2015, that those basic handling errors have been a bit of an issue. Can they simplify the game plan? Because we haven't seen much of a kicking game from Ireland either. Like, how do they approach the French game? If they should be realistic about maybe the handling errors as opposed to going out and just hoping that suddenly everything sticks. Do they have a more simple game plan in their locker?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Like, it does need to be changed to a degree. Kicking game, you're right. Yeah, I don't think that we've maximised the kicking game, and that was probably a key strength in the Six Nations. So I think Nora, her kick count went up. I think she'd only kicked like 6 or 8 times in the first game, went up to 16 in the second game. This is good, but some of them were a little bit ineffective, and they were straight into the 15's hands. A kick is always only as good as its chase. So some of them were made effective because we chased well, but some of them were ineffective because we didn't chase well. So we'd have to be tighter and a bit tidier with our kicking games. That's obviously one better way of gaining territory. And then, as you say, I suppose with Jen Murphy, hopefully we'll be back for this game against France and Sene 2. And it's just about setting up just simple platforms, 1-2 passes, even behind the back door passes. If you have Ali Miller and Hannah Tyrrell threatening in that same channel, so you have the short option, obviously, with Sene or Jen running the short line, and then the back door option with the girls. And they're very, very simple, simple plays, but can be really, really effective. And as you say, they from a defensive point of view, they present players running in two different directions, which obviously then they have to make a decision. And they stop the girls having to just ship the ball over, which is what they're trying to do at the moment. And as you say, are just fumbling it. So, which is not good either.
No, it's not. Gary has a point on that fumbling issue. I know more than anyone else, I'm new to the women's game. The matches have been box office in terms of excitement, but I don't understand how a squad can lose basic skills. Is the coaching ticket not up to it, or are the senior and past players not mentoring the younger players? Wonders Gary on how a team can lose a skill set then.
I don't know is the answer. I would imagine that these things are being done in camp.
Mm. Is it pressure? Is it
the
pressure of a home World Cup?
Yeah, that's something that we touched on lots. And as I said, like, I'm not an excuses gal at all. However, the reality is that we put these ladies up to be elite players and professional players and in the high-performance sector in the RFU, et cetera, which is true. However, they've never had a host nation World Cup before. I've never experienced that. Yes, I've experienced a couple of World Cups, and I know the pressure that you have to deal with, and you learn to deal with that. It's definitely you rely on management and people being able to help you deal with that pressure and cope with that pressure, because that's the skill set of an elite player. However, how do you cope with the host nation? That's a skill set which you'd expect the girls to be supported with, and that's like a management thing. So I'm not too sure whether that's been done.
Gav, are you hopeful for Thursday night?
See, the thing is, as I said, logically, France are going to win this game by 20 points, okay? If you look at the way they wiped Australia and Japan off the pitch and looked at Ireland's performances, how they very nearly could have lost both games, this is a done deal. But that's never been the case with this team. They always produce, like, their best performance in the last year or two was for 50 minutes against England in Donnybrook. Now, before England, who are the best team in the world by some distance, pulled away from them. There was so many positives. And also, they have a habit of beating this French team at home. If you go player for player, again, it doesn't make sense, but they will drag France into a game. They always do. Every game, and Lynn will remember this, going back to 2012, 2011, there's always been a tight game between these two teams. I think only once France have torn them up.
Right.
So, yes, there will be a game. It's going to be, and we're going to get exactly the same level of entertainment, but if we get the same level of skill set, France will win. France really look good. Like, I watched them again this morning, what they did to an Australian team that have plenty of quality athletes structurally. I think Lynn talked about it before the tournament. If they've managed to integrate their sevens players so well, they do look like a finished article at the moment.
Who've been the most impressive team across the tournament? England, as everyone expected?
England has been ticking along. Okay. I've watched both their games. Black Ferns are just phenomenal in their backfield running. Their pack is pretty ferocious, very accurate, where they come in and smash rooks. But France have been the most impressive to me because of they were atrocious back in February in Donnybrook. The ref whistled them off the park that day as well, but they were really, really poor. We'd love to see a bit of that get into their skulls and let them check out. That would be nice to see.
Yeah.
The problem is they look fitter than they've ever looked. Their big, huge pack of forwards are getting around well, really clever. But I do recommend, if anyone has a look in onto this World Cup, a match day 3 is going to be absolutely quality. England, USA. USA are a good team. New Zealand, Canada. Quality game coming up there. That's the second and third best team in the world. And France, Ireland. The standard of rugby that England are playing is really worth going in, because it's a lot of the stuff you might have been seeing from the Ireland matches is not a very good advertisement for a very young sport.
Yeah.
But watch the England team and you'll see what the potential is for this game.
Yeah. Lynn is back with us. Lynn, we're pretty much out of time, but Gav made the case maybe for the possibility, if things all go well, for an Irish victory. How hopeful or expectant are you? I mean, the point even about Ireland and France traditionally having close matches is maybe something we can grapple onto?
Yeah, look, we have to be hopeful. Ireland can do it. Look at the weather outside. I hate talking about this, but there are factors that can definitely go in Ireland's favour. So, you know, we have to be hopeful. I think if it were to happen, I think it'll be probably a tight enough game, probably in the teens on both sides. So on Ireland's favour, come on, they got to do it.
And who's caught your eye? Who's been the best team at the tournament thus far?
Oh, like, France would have to be up there. New Zealand are producing some mega, mega scores, obviously, but like I was actually working on their game and they did still make lots of errors. England are strong and they're very good tournament performers as well. You know, they're the ultimate athletes. So those top three.
Off the Ball.
Get all the best bits at newstalk.com/offtheball.
Newstalk 106 to 108.